On today's program, Dr. Nerida McKibben joins us to share health news. Gia, Olive, and Moses join us to make vegan iced chocolate. And we have music.
Plus, our friends from The Voice of Prophecy are sharing our morning devotional. Stay with us. It's Monday. Good morning to you, and thank you for joining us at Wake Up with Hope.
Waking up is the best with Jesus because it's the best way to start the day, friends. In John 17, verse 3, Jesus said that eternal life comes from knowing Him, and we sincerely desire for you to experience God as you spend time with us each morning and learn more about who He is.
Amen. You know, friend, have you ever experienced an awkward moment? A moment of embarrassment. Maybe you call someone. Did someone just walk by? That was awkward.
That was really weird.
Well, that's all right, because today is National Awkward Day. That's right. It's National Awkward Day. You know, so you may have moments like that today when something happens that is...
Something weird.
Weird.
Something awkward.
Well, that just happened to us.
It did.
Well, no matter how awkward or embarrassing those moments may be, we still have a God who loves us unconditionally, even during our most awkward times. And we want to share more about that today with you as we go through our program and begin just now with taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history in 1889, Dr. Susan LaFleche Picot made history as the first Native American woman to graduate from medical school, excelling at the Women's Medical College of Pennsylvania. Motivated by a childhood incident of medical neglect on the Omaha Reservation, she became a dedicated physician, serving over 1,200 people across 400 miles in the Omaha and Winnebago tribes. Despite opportunities elsewhere, she returned to Nebraska, later opening the first privately funded hospital on a reservation in 1913, emphasizing care for all, regardless of race.
What is your motivation to do better, to improve, to strive for the best? You know, the Bible encourages us in Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And today, take some time to reflect on what motivates you. Take that motivation and spend some time asking God to help you use that to become the best you can be as you walk together with Him.
Amen. Well, today we're making vegan iced chocolate with Gia, Olive, and Moses. This one is sure to be a kid favorite.
We're making iced chocolate. And this is from a website that I actually like following. Vegans Eat Yummy Food Too. And it's very simple, but she's got this iced chocolate on there, and man, it's like delicious. And you don't have all the ice cream and all the really stuff that you just don't want around your waistline. So we're going to make it, and it calls for like at least 2 trays of ice, but I don't know if we've got 2 trays left. Okay. Because Moses and Olive have been going for it. There we go. We are putting some chocolate in there. Mum, it's a bit high for you guys, yeah? Yeah, you pour that in. That's vanilla essence. Some vanilla essence. Oh, and I thank my friends from South Africa who always bring me the vanilla essence from there. Oh, it's so good. Pour it in. And 100% maple syrup. So, where any plant milk will do, any plant milk will do. So, I like using either almond milk, or there's a mix of almond and coconut milk, or soy milk, or rice milk. Okay, this is going to be really loud. Okay, so don't turn it on yet, okay?
Mommy, excuse me. I'm eating the maple syrup.
Not good for your teeth. Oh, it's done. That was easy. Ready? I'm going to pour some. This is very icy. So you can just like use a spoon or... Oops, sorry. Did I knock you?
Aww, it's very icy.
It is very icy. This is what it's like. It's an iced chocolate. It's the real deal.
chocolate.
Whoa.
Ice chocolate.
It's ice chocolate. There you have it. Your ice chocolate. Here's some for you guys.
The ice mountain.
Yes. Okay, tell everyone you're too busy eating, so say bye.
Bye.
We're too busy. Gonna drink our ice chocolates.
Dr. Nerida McKibben joins us now as she shares some insightful health news.
In the headlines today, calorie labels helpful, children's mental health in crisis, and how do you know it's heart failure? The more we eat out, the less we know about how many calories we're consuming and whether the food we're eating is actually healthy. It's now compulsory in England for restaurants, cafes, and takeaway food outlets to provide calorie counts on all their menu items. This change has come about in response to rising rates of obesity. 68% of English men and 60% of English women are overweight or obese, and 25% of the calories that Brits consume is eaten out rather than at home. In addition, with the pandemic, there's been a huge jump in childhood obesity rates across England. Research shows that after calorie labelling became mandatory in large chains in America, reductions were reported in both calories purchased and the number of calories on menu items, suggesting a change in consumer behaviour. So make the most of watching those calories. Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago surveyed parents of children attending the hospital during the COVID pandemic. 71% reported that the pandemic had negatively impacted their child's mental health, and 69% said the pandemic was the worst thing to happen to their children. The American Psychological Association declared children's mental health to be in crisis, while the US CDC reported an alarming jump in mental health emergency room visits during the pandemic. The increase is not surprising, as factors important to maintaining child and adolescent mental health include the safety and predictability of schedules, in-person social interaction with peers and extended family, regular outdoor exercise, and the ability to pursue their passions, like sports, music, and art. Lockdowns and school closures meant that children lost it all. They spent much more time with screens. So let's put the restrictions back on screens and put the focus on being outdoors with family and friends. An invasive procedure is currently the best means of diagnosing heart failure with its associated risks to patients. Ultrasound scans are non-invasive but provide only 50% accuracy for diagnosing heart failure. A new study out of the universities of East Anglia and Sheffield in the UK has found that MRIs may not only provide accurate, non-invasive ways to diagnose, but can also predict the course of the disease and the likelihood of death. Researchers did an MRI and an invasive procedure on 835 people on the same day and found that the MRI was just as accurate as the invasive procedure at diagnosing heart failure, which is good news for cardiologists and patients alike. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's health news.
We have a special children's choir on today's program. We hope you enjoy this musical feature as they sing "How Great is Our God."
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the heavens and the earth. Psalms 148:13.
How great!
The splendor of a king.
trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. Hooray!
If you're enjoying today's program, share it with a friend and don't feel awkward. Visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And search for us on YouTube to check out our YouTube channel and keep up with us.
When we return, our friends from Voice of Prophecy will join us to share a devotional thought. But first, we have Doctor's Orders coming up next.
Hey, Doc, I'm on a real health kick.
Oh, really? So that means you're eating better and you've started that exercise program I gave you?
No need.
No need?
No need.
None?
Yeah, I've got this new plan. See, I saw a video on the internet about amazing dietary supplements. If you take the right ones, well, it's like a miracle. You'll become a Superman.
A supplement, Superman? Well, no disrespect, but it doesn't look like it's working.
Well, right, but I do feel like $1 million.
Well, it looks like you're spending $1 million on useless supplements.
Hey, feeling this great ain't free.
Have you ever heard of the placebo effect?
Yeah, didn't it star Brad Pitt?
It's not a movie. It's a trick your brain plays when you believe that something's going to make you feel better, you do actually feel better.
Well, right then. So I am onto a great thing, aren't I?
Except...
Oh no, what is it?
To be healthier, you actually have to live healthier.
Not this again.
Oh, I would much rather that you ate proper food, that you started that exercise program, managed your stress, drank more water, and nurtured your faith in God.
Well, nobody's advertising that on the internet, are they?
Well, truth doesn't sell, my supplement Superman. Don't buy into the hype. Practice real health habits. Doctor's orders.
Welcome back to Wake Up With Hope. It's time for our morning devotional as our friends from Voice of Prophecy share.
The story of Joseph and his coat of many colors is a favorite of many children and those of us who still pretend to be young. I have often imagined what the coat might have looked like. What colors did Jacob choose? What pattern and order did he use and why? How many coats did he make? I imagine as Joseph outgrew a coat that another coat was needed. Was the last one the only multicolored coat, or was it Jacob's custom to make Joseph's coats colorful? And the process of making the coat itself is something that intrigues me. My mom taught me basic sewing skills using a sewing machine when I was young. And over the past couple of years, I've put those skills to test on several reupholstery jobs around the house. In fact, I'm tackling a massive project right now. But at least the material I'm using is already made. Did Jacob buy material at the local trade market, or did he make the material himself, string by string and color by color? These and many more questions I plan to pepper Mr. Jacob with when I meet him in heaven. However the process went, we can be assured that it was a time-consuming, tedious effort of love. Automation and machinery, as we've come to know them, were not in existence back then. Joseph's coats were all handmade. And in every fiber, in every stitch, Jacob placed a piece of his heart. In the making of the coat, Jacob is a type of Christ. God didn't just make our clothing, but he made us. He formed us out of the mud of the earth. In every shaping of the clay, every smoothing of the contours, every precise and perfect symmetry, he poured out his incredible love for us. And then, when he had formed the perfect man and woman, Scripture reveals that he put his own breath in us. Oh, Psalms 139:14 says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. What is the value of a human life? Well, it's incalculable. Not only did the God of the universe stoop down to physically form us, and not only did he make us in his express image and breathe into us his breath, but Scripture reveals that this same God spared not his own life in redeeming us. When we went astray, out of our own selfish desires, rejecting the very one who gave us life and sustains that life minute by minute and second by second, instead of leaving us to our own destruction, gave his life a ransom for us. 1 Corinthians 6:20 tells us that we were bought at a price, the most expensive of purchases. Our redemption cost God the life of his own son. I don't know how you are feeling today. I'm not sure what thoughts you have embraced about who you are and what others think of you, but rest assured that you are loved and are not here by chance or accident. You are here because a loving God wants you here and desires to know you and dwell with you for eternity. The coat that Joseph wore, while beautiful in appearance and likely given to him with the greatest of sincere intentions, was the object of pride, envy, and jealousy. For Joseph, he proudly strutted his new coat, a coat that gave notice to all who saw it that he was the preferred of his father and that likely signaled Jacob's intention to one day bypass the firstborn of Leah to give the inheritance and birthright to the firstborn of Rachel. This did not go unnoticed by the 10 sons of Leah. And to make things worse, Joseph had a pair of dreams that he, maybe unwisely, shared with his brothers, father and mother. Although I'm sure those dreams came back forcefully into their minds, as years later Joseph was the second command of the greatest nation in the world at the time. At the hearing of the dreams, the family members, especially his brothers, were fired up. And Genesis 37 records the story. Although Joseph's brothers became envious, and despite the fact that Jacob rebuked him for assuming that he would rule over his family, verse 11 tells us that Jacob kept the matter in mind. You see, Jacob was not a stranger to the voice of God. After his sin against his own father Isaac, where he stole the blessing from Esau, he had seen a vision of angels, had been blessed by God, and had even wrestled in hand-to-hand combat with the angel of the Lord himself. Despite the fact that he unwisely showed preference to Joseph, which no doubt incited the jealous passions of his other sons, Jacob was a man of God. I'm certain that in the hearing of Joseph's dreams, he detected a message from the Lord. And while he was not ready to embrace it or to make matters worse by suggesting to the rest of the family that God was communicating with Joseph, I'm certain that he pondered these things long and hard. And honestly, why not? Joseph was already Jacob's preferred son, and as such likely would receive countless blessings from Jacob. Joseph's dream may have served as an acknowledgement from God and approval from God that the direction Jacob was heading, giving preference to Joseph, was God's intent all along. Nevertheless, wisdom prevailed and he kept his thoughts to himself. Regardless, the damage was already done. The brothers of Joseph left that reveal infuriated to the point of murder. Soon they would find themselves far away from home, plotting how they could get rid of Joseph. Sometime later, they looked up and saw the hated coat of many colors in the distance heading towards them. At that point, they devised a ruthless plan to kill him and drop him in a pit, then tell the story that an animal devoured him. But not all desired to kill him. Reuben had compassion. He loved his father and knew that the loss of Joseph would be too much to bear. But he had to tread carefully. His brothers were possessed with rage. One misstep and he might find himself in their crosshairs. Acting quickly, Reuben suggested that they not dirty their hands with blood, but just toss Joseph into the pit. His intent was to later return to the pit and free him. The brothers agreed, and Joseph was violently, ruthlessly thrown into a pit as soon as he arrived at the camp. How devastating and frightening that must have been. Joseph loved his brothers, and I can imagine that he was excited to be reunited with them. But he could see the mad hate in their eyes. I imagine that he pled and begged them to stop. I wonder if he cried to be let go and be sent home. But that was not to be. In fact, it would be many years before he would see the face of his father again. Alone, scared, and hopeless, he sat in that pit. I can imagine that he mentally relived every moment and likely had many regrets regarding how he had treated his brothers. Soon after, and while Reuben was away, Midianite traders stopped by. The brothers thinking that they could gain a little cash from this sold Joseph as a slave. I can only imagine how long the journey to Egypt must have been. What would you do if you were Joseph? Well, betrayed by his own family and with nowhere to turn, he did the only thing that he could do. He turned to God. Psalms 31:3, "For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me." In the same way that Jacob committed his life to the Lord in a foreign land years before and asked the Lord to bring him back to his homeland one day, Joseph must have done the same, and God heard his prayer. Today, you might be feeling alone and discouraged. All may have turned against you, but God is still there. I invite you to turn to him, and he will be your strength. Let me pray with you. Father in heaven, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being our strength. Thank you for being our courage. Thank you for keeping us safe. And even when all is against us and our world is crumbling, you have promised to be there with us. Keep us in your name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, I'm thankful to start this week with you, our Hope Channel family, once again. We at the Voice of Prophecy pray that you wake up with hope.
Amen. Thank you, friends.
And friends, thank you so much for being with us here today and watching Wake Up with Hope. Now, please join us tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who do we have tomorrow?
Tomorrow, we have Jesus 101, who will be with us to share a morning devotional thought. We will be having a dedicated prayer session and more. And if you enjoyed today's messages and want to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
You know, our free Bible study guides are sure to be a life-changing experience. Again, that's hope.study. Now, before we go, I feel like I have some lint here in my jacket. Do you see something there?
Oh, maybe, but this is
okay?
Awkward. We're on camera.
Oh,
right
this
now.
Is awkward.
And this is even more awkward
because now we have
someone coming to clean you up.
But that's okay, honey. Today is National Awkward Day.
Okay, I get it.
Right?
If you get embarrassed today, what should you do?
Just go on. Roll
Let
with it.
Let it roll off.
All right. So, as we were saved. Before we go, we have a Bible promise just for you. Today's Bible promise is found in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3.
The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you.
Amen. You know, friend, He loves you with an everlasting love. His loving kindness today is never ending. So call on Him today. Run to Him. Experience His love and care. Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, thank you so much, Lord, for the content that we have experienced today. Thank you. We're filled with hope, and let us stand with you, even if it means to stand alone, to stand above the crowd, even if it means to be awkward, because we're standing for Jesus. May we stand for you no matter what. And I pray, Lord, that you would keep us faithful, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.